The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people.
Happy birthday. Welcome back. Hour number two, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690.
I don't get into all that stuff. I retired, and I was like, okay, my time's up. I can leave the limelight now, and I don't mean that in sound and arrogant or however that, you know, people might perceive that. I'm happy being at my cabin up in the mountains in British Columbia, away from everybody, and just being with friends and family, and that makes me the happiest guy in the world.
Jeez, for a second there, I thought Larry was describing the Unabomber. Larry Walker with a guest appearance in the middle of the Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch. You'll hear the Friday Scrum 8.5 on Rod's sliding scale in its entirety between 6 and 7 before the Laval Rocket game tonight. And you'll hear the entire conversation with Larry. You don't have to wait till 6 o'clock after Eric Edholm, after Gallo's update at 4:30, Pierre McGuire after 5. Here he is back from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama from ProFootballWeekly.com. Eric Edholm, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm in one piece. That's good news.
You're in one piece?
Yeah. Anytime I go down to Mobile and see some old friends and maybe have a drink or two, and this is allergy season and all those things combined, there's potential for trouble.
Maybe have a drink or two. What is your drink of choice in this great state of Alabama? Is it bourbon?
Tell you what. I had a couple nice cocktails down there, but the beer of choice was the High Lie IPA. I guess it's only available it's a Tampa brewery, and I guess it's really only available right now in Florida, South Alabama, places like that. So this is a new discovery. This might be a beer that I put on my short list from here on out.
Well, Rod, if you may or may not know, is almost as much of a beer expert as he is when it comes to the NFL. So have you heard of this one?
No, it's a new one for me, Eric. We Canadians, we can get a little bit snobby when it comes to our beer because, we're not big on the whole Budweiser King of Beers slogan. IPA, always an excellent choice. And if you're ever in the northern part of the U.S. or northeastern part of the U.S., Eric, Rolling Rock is one of my favorites, along with Yingling, both out of the Northeast.
Yingling is extremely popular down south, too. I know it's a Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania area thing or whatever, but yeah, there was Yingling on tap at like every restaurant and bar we went to down there. It's sort of a strange phenomenon, but it's good beer.
Or Coors Light here, for that matter, in the Bell Center, as I discovered in the seats last Saturday night. Nothing against the Molson clan, but Coors Light. You that's one you have in your fridge every summer, didn't you tell us? You always have a Coors Light in your fridge?
You really exaggerated that situation.
Well, you mentioned it.
I just said
I've never forgotten it.
What I said was I enjoy Coors Light. I didn't say it's my favorite beer or my go-to.
You enjoy it.
But
it's bad
enough. But I do enjoy it.
I did not enjoy it on Saturday night against the Bruins. Eric, I've been dying to ask you this all week. It's a prop bet. Will Donovan McNabb's vomiting incident from Super Bowl 39 be mentioned during the broadcast a week from Sunday?
Oh, it's got to, right? I mean, it's like urban lore at this point, And it's funny because I could be wrong. I don't know if there's actual video footage of it. I know everyone's talked about it, and McNabb kind of denied it, and other people. But correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think there's actual video proof of it, so it's sort of taking on a life of its own.
I was at the Bob Dylan 30th anniversary concert at MSG when Sinead O'Connor got booed off the stage, and she vomited on Kris Kristofferson as she left the stage. I saw it. Film of that exists, but you are right. I have never actually seen the vomit from Donovan McNabb.
And I'm glad there's no evidence of Sinead vomiting on Kris Kristofferson. I think, it's clashing styles. I don't know that would, that's not very poetic in my mind.
My biggest, focus with the team is let's just focus on today. Let's just win today. Let's get better today, and we'll worry about that when we get to the game. But obviously, it's a credit to what the Patriots have done in their careers and their history, and you know everybody's trying to win championships like that. But we just got to focus on today.
We'll get to Belichick in a second, Eric. But how about Doug Peterson? Who anybody in the shadow of Belichick is not going to get their due. But how about spending a little bit of time on Doug Peterson and the job that he's done?
Yeah, it's fascinating because he was sort of an uninspired hire. You know, he was viewed as too much like Andy Reid, and everybody kind of assumed, you know, prior to the 2016 season, and everybody in Philly just assumed, okay, this is Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, sort of admitting his Chip Kelly mistake and wanting Andy back or something close to him. And we knew they weren't going to bring back Andy Reid. He was under contract to the Chiefs. He was happy there. So why not bring his top lieutenant from the Kansas City Chiefs and a guy who, you know, only called plays for part of his final season there? And when they were 5-9 last year, believe me, Doug Peterson was not one of the more popular guys in Philadelphia. And a lot of people questioned, hey, is this guy head coaching material? Does he know what he's talking about? I think those questions have been answered, right? I mean, not only bringing this team up through the arm and talents of Carson Wentz for most of the season, but then being able to switch gears and adjust and make Nick Foles comfortable in this offense and do what he's done, it's been a tremendous coaching job. And maybe he slips through the cracks of Coach of the Year candidates, but the job he's done has been fantastic, and he's earned back all the respect he should have gotten at some point along the line.
I look forward to the task. They're an amazing team, amazing organization, but also, you know, I'm playing against their defense. Our defense is going to play against Tom. We our strength is a team. You know, we lean on each other. So that's where you don't have to go out there and do it by yourself. You know, we're going to go in there with great energy. We're going to go there and give everything we have during this game.
There's Nick Foles with Eric Edholm every Friday and Monday after 4 on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, and Mitch Gallo. Rod.
And Eric, I don't think you can overstate when a head coach is also the one calling the plays, how much of an extra amount of workload that is, because it means that he's really focusing on whether you script the first 20 plays or not. You're focusing on your own offensive performance, the other team's defense, of course. And I'm not suggesting that it means he's not at all involved in the defense, but man, I cannot imagine the time commitment involved when you're the one deciding on every single play call and you're also the delegator in chief.
Absolutely. And you know, that's, we should have at least 3 new head coaches next year. Not trying to change subjects, but you know, Matt Nagy in Chicago here, first time head coach calling plays himself. He'll have help, but still, we expect Josh McDaniels to take the Colts job. I don't imagine he'll be passing off that duty to some lower assistant. That's going to be his job when he takes that. Pat Shurmur, just introduced today as the New York Giants head coach. You know, he's been a head coach before, both as an interim and a 2-year stint with the Cleveland Browns. So he knows what he's getting into, and so does McDaniels. But like you said, a lot on his plate. You know, Peterson had only done it for part of a year, like Nagy did under Andy Reid in Kansas City this past season. He wasn't the play caller the entire year. But then you tack on all that extra responsibility, watching the clock, knowing who's coming in and out, watching the opponent, knowing what your team is capable of doing. It's a lot. And some guys can process that information and compartmentalize everything and handle it. Others cannot. So far, even though he's had a few games where clock management's been a little dicey, I think Doug Peterson's overall done a really nice job with that.
That's why I'm super interested in the matchup between the two head coaches, because, Eric, it feels like in a lot of past Super Bowls and even past playoff games, and maybe we could even look to last week in the AFC Championship games, it feels like head coaches that go up against Bill Belichick, for whatever reason, tend to overthink, overanalyze, make moves that maybe they wouldn't make if they were coaching against somebody else. Do you think Doug Peterson can kind of take from their experiences and not do that and just stick with his own game plan?
Yeah, that's going to be so important, is to not get caught up in things. And, you know, the Patriots, you could say it's true with every Super Bowl. I'm sure it's also true with pretty much every game they've coached, but it's especially true in these kind of games. They always show you something that they haven't shown you all year long. They'll give a look that's unorthodox to them, that won't show up in tape study. They'll present something early in the game. Like last week, it was James Devlin, the fullback, split out wide against, you know, A.J. Boye and Jalen Ramsey. And, you know, the Jaguars didn't exactly adjust to that right away. I mean, I know they had a good performance early on, but just little things like that that they haven't seen before. So can the Eagles roll with the punches? Are they going to be able to stick with their game plan, or if they need to, adjust on the fly? So you're going to really have to come in with a couple of different game plans, A, B, and C, and kind of tailor them to what the Patriots are doing as well. It will be fascinating. I will say this. If you remember back, and it's, you know, it's apples to oranges, different teams and all that, but Peterson's game plan when he was calling plays with the Chiefs against New England in that playoff game up in Foxborough, the Chiefs had success all day long. It was a couple of failures here and there that really cost them. I mean, they were, I think they lost that game by 10 points, but that was an impressive game plan that he had time to perfect and come up with, and they executed it really well, except for, you know, like I said, a handful of plays. So I think they'll find ways to stress this New England defense.
They've done a great job. They've dealt with a number of situations on both sides of the ball. I mean, look, every team in the league goes through something. We've had it. Every team we've played against has had it. But the Eagles done a great job with it, and they continue to play very good football at all three phases of the game. They played at a very high level.
Belichick on the Eagles, and now...
out of the gun with White to the left of Brady. Gets the shotgun snap. Pumps left. Looks right. Throws it right. Looking for Gronkowski. Leaps up. Tries to pull it down, and he can't. And here comes a flag.
Yeah, the flag's going to be for a defenseless... hitting a defenseless receiver.
Personal foul. Unnecessary roughness. Defense. Number 42. It's a 15-yard penalty from the previous spot. First down.
Gronk went up to try to pull it in, and it was a helmet-to-helmet. The side of the helmet of Church got Gronk's helmet.
Can you give us an update on Rob Gronkowski? Has he finished his concussion protocol? Do you expect him to play?
Yeah, we'll be compliant with the NFL injury report, and when that's required, we'll put it on there.
When is that process completed, finished?
When's what process finished?
The concussion report, the...
Whatever his situation is, whatever his status is, that we'll put it on the injury report. We'll make sure you're the first one to get it.
I'm sure you will. Do you expect him to play?
Not a problem.
Do you expect him to play?
We'll put it right on the injury report, and that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Just like everybody else does. We'll make sure you're first on the list, too, Stacey.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I don't want to hold anything back here. Get that out there right away.
I know you don't.
So much love and affection. Who is Stacey? Who's the dude Stacey that was asking that question? Do you know?
That's a great question. I know their PR director is named Stacey James. I don't think that was him. So, yeah, I'm not aware of
him. No, that would be the former PR director by now. That conversation took place on Wednesday.
Yeah, and, well, Eric, you can fill us in. I saw that Gronkowski didn't practice today. And actually, this is pretty funny. So, the NFL forces teams, even though the Super Bowl is not till next Sunday, they force teams to put out an injury report as though the teams were playing on Sunday, this Sunday. So the Patriots, tongue-in-cheek or tongue-placed somewhere else, have said that Rob Gronkowski would be out if the Patriots were playing this Sunday, Eric.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if this is, I don't know what people have expected to be the case with their gamesmanship or whatever, you know, sending kind of mixed signals about the health of their players or, you know, anything they've been suspected of doing over the years. I think this is probably them just being overly cautious, and they know they're going to face a million questions as soon as they arrive in Minneapolis on Monday afternoon, starting with media night Monday and going all through the week. Is Gronk going to play? They're all going to say some version of what Belichick just said. But I do think it's important to note that some players respond differently to post-concussion, you know, symptoms and treatment. And, you know, I think they're not going to put their players in harm's way. I really don't. I don't believe for a minute that if they thought Rob Gronkowski had not been cleared for a concussion that they would just stick him out there in that game. I don't know. I can't buy into that, not in this era, even with whatever reputation you want to assign to that team. But, yeah, it is notable that he and Dietrich Wise, a defensive end, a guy who, you know, would be counted on to play a good number of snaps in the game, would be out. That said, there are still, you know, what, 9 more days until we get to game day. So there's still ample time for Gronk to be cleared if he is.
I'm curious, in your own mind, how much of a difference it would make as you try to decide who to pick and by how many?
Yeah, I mean, look, whatever Brady and Amendola and Brandon Cooks and, you know, those other guys on the field did without Gronk was commendable in that Jaguars game. Unbelievable. I really didn't think without him out there they had a shot to win that game. That said, even with 2 weeks of game planning, I would lower their chances significantly if he couldn't play. If we found out on Friday that he was ruled out, you know, would that change my pick? I don't know, because I won't tell you who I'm – I mean, I'm leaning a little towards the Eagles right now. I haven't decided. I've still got a lot of work to do, but I think the Eagles have a great shot. I think they would have an even better shot if Gronkowski didn't play.
Finishing up with Eric at home. Much more on Monday when the players arrive in Minneapolis for the Super Bowl. Also today,
the national anthem is a time-honored tradition that's played to this day and many, many years in the past prior to most athletic events in our country and other countries. So whatever our rules are is what everyone will abide by.
So I'm trying to figure out why Vince McMahon would go down this road again for XFL 2, and that got me thinking. The NFL ratings are down, and of course Trump says it's because of the Kaepernick situation and all of that. And do you think he sees an opening here?
Yeah, I think he does. And I mean, whether there is one or not, whether it's, you know, perceived or real or whatever, I mean, I think the XFL's best chance, if it's not going to align itself in a way of being like a feeder league, you know, a minor league for the NFL or a complementary league or a developmental league or anything like that, if they want to swim upstream and they want to try to go directly opposed to the NFL, they're going to take the issues that people are griping about, whether it's slow play time, whether it's a million flags, whether it's not knowing what a catch is and what isn't a catch, whether it's, you know, kind of the no fun league reputation, or whether it's the anthem protest. There are people out there who are upset about it. They're going to go diametrically opposed to where the NFL's stance has been or what the perceived stance is and try to build an audience that way. And, you know, it's not too different from the Donald Trump playbook, right? I mean, it's get people fired up and get, you know, sort of prey on the NFL's possible weaknesses on some of these things, and that's one way to build up a business. Although we're 2 years away from this supposed league happening.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. I mean, you mentioned the president. Vince McMahon's wife, Linda, is a part of his administration. So there is that connection. She's part of his extended cabinet, as a matter of fact, Small Business Administration. I also have a hard time believing, knowing what we know about the McMahons and their ego, especially Vince's ego, Eric, I can't see him formalizing some kind of minor league arrangement with the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump and the other USFL owners, some of them, not all of them, but some of them, you know, had the idea that, okay, let's build this USFL up. Let's make it something. Let's see what we can make of it. And then let's hope that the NFL kind of absorbs us, much like it did a generation before with the AFL and NFL combining. That, of course, didn't happen. A lot of those players ended up, you know, having their contracts voided. They go to the NFL and play their careers there. But yeah, this feels different. This doesn't feel like what you just said. This doesn't feel like a play to get the NFL to kind of purchase them or adopt them or bring them on board. So, yeah, this does feel like the biggest attempt to create a pro football league that is in direct competition to the NFL.
When is the State of the Union address?
Next week.
It's next week. Mm-hmm. And just so happens that Jimmy Kimmel's guest following the State of the Union address will be none other than Stormy Daniels.
Oh.
How about that for counter-programming?
You don't even need a Democratic response. You just send them over to
Kimmel. Great talking to you, Eric. We'll do it again on Monday.
Sounds good, fellas. See
you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
As far as our league is concerned, it'll have nothing to do with politics. Absolutely nothing, and nothing to do with social issues either. We're there to play football. We want really good football. And I think that's what fans want as well. When they tune in, I don't know that they want to be dealing with political issues and things of that nature. They want good football. That's what we're going to deliver.
I mean, I like what he's saying. I just have a hard time believing he's going to be able to put a product on the field that matches what he's saying.
I love his voice. I love the way he says football. Football.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Some things just warm you up inside. Like getting together with a good friend, cozying up next to a fireplace, and enjoying an artisan-style grilled cheese sandwich. Good thing you can do all three at Tim Hortons. Warm up with Tim's new artisan-style grilled cheese. Warm, cheesy goodness inside a toasty artisan-style sandwich with an extra layer of shredded cheese melted on top. Try it with delicious strips of hickory smoked bacon today at participating Tim Hortons restaurants.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Think Protection.